Should be on. Okay, there we go. Sorry about that. I remember one time I was come up here to, and I came down front here, and there was a microphone on the front, and I don't know if it was David or Stephen, but told me that you got Craig's microphone, and he didn't like his microphone he used. So anyway, I'd had his ears, and I had his earpiece all bent and changed for mine. So I mentioned that to him today. But anyway, it's good to be here this morning. It's a pleasure to be in this church again. Those of you who don't know, my name is Ralph Willis. I grew up here, lived here almost all my life. My wife, Lori and Tristan Willis, accepted Christ here in this church, baptized in this church, Sunday school, vacation Bible school. Spent a lot of time here. It's good to see a lot of y'all. It's good to be back. I thank you for the honor and the privilege to be here. Yesterday, we live up in North Florida now, and yesterday we were driving down here and driving down the road, and Lori asked me, she said, "Are you nervous?" And I said, "No, not really." She said, "Well, you got your message together and all that?" And I said, "Yeah." And she doesn't say a whole lot. She just kind of straight to the point. She says, "Well, don't ramble." And so anyway, I told her that I would try not to ramble. Try not to chase rabbits. I know there's been a few chased in here before, but I'll try not to do that. I was told that there's some lights in here that go, yellow, green, and red, or something like when it starts getting time, and there's some beeps that'll start beeping, let me know that I'm getting close to time. But I told her that I wouldn't ramble, but I won't ramble before my message. Try not to ramble during my message. But homecoming, it's the reason we're here today, homecoming. A lot of churches have homecoming. The church we go to up in North Florida has homecoming. They have it in the fall of the year around harvest time, picking peanuts and cotton. And, here's always been this time of the year. And I know y'all have seen, those who've been here, we've had some very good, nasty weather on homecoming day sometimes. Wind blow and rain, and we've had tents set up out there and had trouble keeping them up. But, it's always turned out good. We've always had a good time, and we've had a lot of homecomings here. And I think about the times in the past here, and I think about church. I was looking on the bulletin there, and I saw here on the front, it was an old picture, and the church there, and I don't know what year that was from. Two cars out front there, and the old church there. And look underneath the tree right there. I remember those trees as they grew up later on, planted underneath these trees, but there's a bicycle there. And one thing about this church, there's always been plenty of stuff for children and youth here. And I think about the people who's taken the time to work with our youth and our children here, and the teachers that's put in their time and effort. And I was thinking about how many popsicle sticks, tongue depressors, pipe cleaners, how many bottles of glue, how many boxes of crayons over the years have been used here to teach these little children about Jesus. Nowadays we got a little bit more complicated, we use a little bit more different things, but I can remember as a child being proud of what I made, taking home and showing my mama, and I heard him mention about VBS and Vacation Bible School here, and going to VBS as a child here, and the teachers and the ones that put their time in and took time away from their life to come down here and work with these children and these youth here. And be thankful for those. If you can, volunteer and help. You never know when you're going to get a child that he wasn't quite the nice child that he should be. And I was probably one of those children at times. But those teachers, they take those children and they work with them. They have the patience. And they make a difference in their lives. And you that have done that before and been there, you make a difference in their lives. So VBS is coming up. Think about that. A lot of children come to know the Lord Jesus at that time. And this church does a lot. And they go all out for VBS and try to support them the best you can. I was thinking about some of the past preachers. You're very blessed here as a church to have, and that was 2 to 3 years before I was born. I was born in 59. I don't remember what year Brother Mac came, but since Brother Mac, we've had three pastors. Very, very blessed to have that. Church we go to, I think they're I think they're on 6 now in 7 years, 8 years or something like that. A lot of churches are like that, but you've been blessed with a lot of continuity in your staff here, a lot of good staff. It's a good place, and the gospel is taught here. It's a good place. Brother Mac, I remember many sermons with Brother Mac. I remember going back in time, and I see a lot of memories and stuff and post on Facebook about Wildwood memories. Wildwood's a different town than it used to be. And think about football games of Wildwood, thinking about coming down here on Friday nights after football. Most of the time with kids, you know, they'd have something for us, the youth or something like that, after a football game, place to hang out. And most of the time back then, it was a given. There was a victory that night. Wildwood didn't lose very often back then. It was a different time and a different place. You know, there was a lot of pride in our community and a lot of pride in our town, and it was a different world. I'm not going to say that it was a better. I'm just saying it was different, and it was good times. And those of you who are in youth, same age as me, remember that blue bus? How many miles we put on that old blue bus, riding places and going places and seeing things, and adults and chaperones taking us. Miles and miles, hours. There's been a lot of good memories here, and I'm glad to be able to be back today and to share some of those with you. Today's message is a verse that all of you should know. Most of you know it by heart. You can take your Bibles and open it to it in just a minute. There's something about, to me, even though you know the scripture and you know the verse, there's something about reading it out of God's Word. It's going to be on the screen, but a lot of times I like to just go ahead and open it, even though I know it anyway, because I get to read a little bit beforehand, a little bit afterhand, while the pastor's up there rambling on like I might do, and kind of get a gist of what's going on. But the verse today, John 3:16. How many times have you ever heard John 3:16? How many of you know it by heart, can say it, can recite it? Some of you know it in King James Version, some of you know it in New King James, some of you know it in the Message, some of you know it in NIV. These words change a little bit, but how many of you know that verse? Simple, plain, but it says the greatest thing that's ever been said in that verse. And so, if you'll read along with me as I read. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we just come before you today, and we just thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be in your house and worship you. God, I never thought I'd see the time, but it's getting to where before long I wonder whether we'll be able to gather without trouble or problems. We've taken that for granted for many years. God, our world is changing. We're going through many, many things and many, many uncertainties, many children that are growing up, having to come into this world and see this. They live coming in a different world than we used to have, Lord. But God, I think all the time about it. I think about the things that I see. But one thing I know that doesn't change is you and your word. And Father, sometimes I have to just back off, and I have to quit thinking about those things, and I have to turn and focus on you and focus on your unchanging love, grace, and mercy, and your unchanging word. And God, I know that you love us. I know that you care for us. In this verse, it speaks how much you love us, how much you care for us, and what you've done for us. God, I ask you to open our hearts. Let us take the things of this world that take our attention away from you, and let's just take a little bit of time and focus on worshiping you today. For all these things we ask in Jesus' name, amen. The first part there, And I'm going to break it down like this. And I've got a couple of points. But you'll just bear with me. It says, for God. I don't know about you, but it says a lot, those two words, for God. And I'm going to take it like this, that God has always been. God always will. And God always has. And I try to come up with those words and think about it. And I try to explain and think about God. And going back, what sticks out in my mind, what means more to me when I try to explain God, is what God told Moses when he told him to go and speak to Pharaoh. Moses wanted to know, who do I tell him has sent me? And what did he say? I am. Tell him, I am. Now you think about that. I am. And so when I say he was, or he has, he all, to me it still can't get a hold of. But when you say I am, the great I am, God is always has been, always will. He, I am. You can't. To me, you can't explain God any more than that. God is the great I am. And take that, that when it starts off that God is saying he's always been here. Always will be. He's God. There is no other God. There is none other than God. Muhammad, Buddha, whoever else they have out there today, there is no other than God. And God did this, what we're fixing to do. None other that they worship, praise today, none other but God can do this for God. And the next part is, what did God do? God so loved. For God, who's always been, always has been, the great I am, loved. How many of y'all in here love somebody? How much do you love them? Love can be a big word to describe a lot of things. You ever try to tell your wife or your husband that you love them when they're angry at you? Does that work real well? Tell them that you love them when you're trying to make up to them? Tell your child that you love them after you've disciplined and spanked them, taken away something from them? Do they believe that? Well, how many times you tried to tell a friend that you know that you work with, they're going through hard times, that you love them? I mean, there's different kinds of love. There's your love for your children. There's your love for your spouse. There's your love for your mother and father. There's your love for your friends. There's your love for your church. But God, it said, he so loved. Now, you hear a lot today when you try to explain about God and people say, but why would God let this happen? Isn't God love? Why would he let all these things happen? Well, God is love. But that's not all God is. God is love. But God is also a just God. He's a righteous God. He's a jealous God. And God is not just love. But because he loves us, he's all these other things. How many of y'all have ever disciplined your child and not love them? Why do you discipline them? You discipline them because you love them. How hard is it to discipline your child? I mean, see, I can think of some in here that, you know, that might not be for their parents at times when they got disciplined. Maybe it wasn't a hard thing for them to do to discipline that child. And I'm looking at that child and seeing him the way he's been acting. And I was thinking, maybe they need to do more of it. But for that parent, I'm sure it was hard to discipline that child the way they have to. But why do they do it? Because they love us, because they care for us, and they want to. And that's part of love, is discipline. Well, God has his love for us, and it's so big, and it is so large. It said, for God so loved, the next part, the world. Now, we talked about loving family, loving children, loving friends, and all that. What did God love? The world. The world. Now, how do we love the world? Or do we love the world? I don't think it's possible, I'm not going to say possible, but some of it would be very, very hard for us to love the world. Because we have some close people, family that we love, and we start getting away and moving away, and family and friends, and our love changes, and it changes in the amount. How much we'll put up with those, how much we'll take from those, how much we'll accept from those. And then we see people that we care about, but do we really love? God so loved the world. The world. And I'm going to venture off here for just a minute, and you can take it however you want to. But the world he's talking about is every person who's ever been born on this earth. But not only just been born, from the moment of conception, when that child became a being. Because when I said every child has ever been born, not everyone has ever been born, okay, for whatever reason. And so I'm going to venture off a little bit and chase a little rap here and make something that's, you can take what you want to out of that. But I believe when he's talking about the world, he's talking about every child that from the moment of conception, since the world began, is the world that he's talking about, that God so loved the world. Now, that's a lot of people. A lot of people. God so loved the world. Now, I want you, the reason I'm kind of going back to this, I want you to understand how large this is, how large God is, how large his love. And the next part, God so loved the world that he gave. All of us are giver. We all give. When it comes to offering time, we give. We give an offering. Are we a cheerful giver sometimes? Yes and no. Do we give what we should? Yes and no. Do we hold back some for ourselves? Yes and no. Do we give to others that we should? Caring hands. You still with caring hands, Miss Loopy? Do y'all ever run short of things? You ever have things you need? But I'm sure you could take more, couldn't you? You could be givers, could give more, and there could be more people. That's what I'm getting at. Is there's always a need. We always need givers because there's always a need. There's always a need somewhere for people to give. A lot of times people don't give because they different reasons. Some people have, don't have. But God gave. Now, when we talk about giving, a lot of us, we want to hold on to the world, don't we? And we want to hold on to those things. We want to hold on, and sometimes we kind of hold on to it as it's being taken out of our hands. How many of y'all honestly love every part about the giving part at Christmas time? How many of y'all have been there 2 or 3 days before Christmas time and you run into the store late at night or in right at the last minute to get something for somebody because you found out they got you something, you got to go get them something, and you don't have a clue what in the world to give them, and you're talking like, this is just too much. We've run. Do you have a cheerful heart all the time? You ever been in that situation and you're thinking, just like me, most of you men, why am I in this car going to this store with all these people and standing in line when football game's on or something like that? But do we always have a cheerful heart? Do we always want to give? Well, God did. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave. Now, we're getting to the exciting part, but God gave. And the next part is, what did he give? His one and only begotten son. His one and only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Now, when we talk about giving, we're talking about giving that gift to that person at the last minute at Christmas time. We run around, sometimes I'm sure we do things that we don't want to have to do, but we do them because that's what we're supposed to do, and we have to do, and we're going to do. And I don't want to hear any more about it. This is what we're going to do, and that's the last of it. But anyway, God gave his one and only begotten son. Well, most of you in here have had children, those who have children. How do you feel about your children? Who would you give your child for? Name in your mind one person that you would give your child for. One person. And we talked a minute ago about the world. The world is large. You're talking about all the people that have been in the world. One person that you would give your child for. Now, and it was his only begotten son, and we're going to find out, most of you know, but what he gave that son for. That son is Jesus Christ, God, God as Jesus, Jesus as God. The next. And it says, his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. Now let's back up for just a minute. I wanted to put that part up there. What did he do? How did he give him? How did God give his son? God gave his son in the form of man, came to this earth, born of the Virgin Mary, born God as man. He lived on this earth. He walked on this earth. He worked on this earth. He dealt with a lot of the same things you and I did. He worked with his hands. He worked a trade. He worried about eating. He worried about paying bills. He worried about friends. He had all these things that he had to deal with just like us as a human. He dealt with the pressures and strains that we do in some of the same ways. The last 3 years of his life, he entered into his ministry that he had here on earth with 12 disciples. He traveled around the Middle East over there in that area, telling about his father and telling about going to heaven. They didn't like what he was saying, didn't like what he had to say about sin. People didn't want to hear about their own selves and what they were doing wrong. We don't like to ourselves. We don't like to hear when somebody has something wrong to tell us that we've been doing. They took him. They beat him. They spit on him. They hit him. They kicked him. They took him and they took him and they tried him. He wasn't guilty of anything. They took him and they nailed him on a cross. And they took him and they stood that cross up and he stood on that cross for a day. He died. They took him down. They took him and put him in a tomb, rolled a stone across the front of it. He laid there for 3 days and he was resurrected. He came back out of that tomb and he walked on this earth. I just want you to understand, I'm not making light of that. I want you to understand that is an amazing, amazing thing. But to get to the point and use that, I want you to understand that's what Jesus did. That's what God gave Jesus for, to die for us and for our sins. And the next part I want to get to says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now, we have a choice whether we want to believe that really happened to Jesus. That Jesus really did that, and he died on that cross, or he died on the cross for you and for me and for our sins. All right? And this part right here says, should not perish. This kind of like title, and Brother Craig told y'all last week I was to preach about hell. Well, I'm going to get to that part right here. Homecoming today. Had homecoming last year, the year before, 50-something years, as long as I remember, we've had a homecoming here at this church every year. As far as I know, and I think there will be next year and the year after, and until the Lord comes, I think there'll be a homecoming here every year. But there's going to be a time and a place when God is going to take us away from here. Each and every one of us that's alive, those that has lived before, we're going to be taken away from here if you believe what the Bible says, and we're going to be taken to one or two places. There's going to be a final homecoming. I'm going to say, two homecomings. One of them is going to be pretty nice, and the other one's going to be terrible. A lot of people don't like to talk about it today, but I'm going to tell you there is a place called hell. There's no doubt in my mind it is real. It is real as the walls of these buildings, the floor in this church is real as the pews that you're sitting in. There is a place called hell. Hell is hot, fire, misery, torture, some way, darkness, I believe. It's hotter than any fire is ever known by man. I don't know exactly how it's going to last for eternity, that our bodies are going to be put in there, and we're going to burn and burn and burn and burn and burn in any fire hotter than man has ever known. And I don't think that's going to be the worst of it. We're going to suffer separation, I think. Separation from others. I think it's going to be darkness. Talks about heaven being light, full of light, no darkness heaven. I believe it's going to be darkness in hell. I believe we're going to be alone feeling. I believe we're going to be knowing that I think others are there. I think we're going to hear the cries, and I think we're going to hear them cry out, and I think we're going to hear them going through their suffering. And I'm saying we, I'm talking about those that are in hell, that they're going to hear that, and they're going to hear that suffering, and they're going to be in their darkness, in their own suffering, their own misery, not being able to do anything to help those that are crying out, not being able to do anything because they're going to be going through their own suffering and their misery. And I think the worst thing about hell is that I believe before sent to hell, we're going to listen to God, and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You never knew my son. You never believed that he died on that cross for you. And we're going to be separated from God. And it says in there that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I think everyone that's going to be sent into hell is going to know that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus died on that cross. They're going to have that knowledge, but they're not going to accept that. And I think they're going to be sent to hell, and they're going to be eternally. And I think, to me, this is going to be the worst thing in hell. They're going to be eternally separated from God. I think back on Adam and Eve, and I think back on them when they were in the garden. And what did they do before the fall? What do they do in the evening? They walked and they talked with God. They spent time with God. Those of you who've been here in the summertime, the heat, humidity, and you know what it's like to be in the shade and in the cool. And late in the evening, sometimes you get that afternoon rain and it's cooled off, you know, and it's a nice afternoon. You're in the shade and sitting there in the swing. I mean, it's a nice time. But can you imagine what it was like to spend time walking with God, talking with God, hanging out with God, asking God things, God talking with you? And then they sinned, and what happened? That didn't happen anymore. They got sent out of the Garden of Eden, but where did they go? They went outside. To me, the worst thing that happened, and they had to live the rest of their life on this earth, separated from God as far as the way they had had it. I imagine that's one of the worst things that's going to be in hell, is that we're going to be separated from God, knowing that we can never, ever, 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 ever have that situation again, that we can never ever. Today you have the option what you want to believe. Today you have the option to say, I believe in Jesus, or I don't believe in Jesus. You've had the option in the past, some of you in here, to have said, no, I'm not buying into that day. I don't want to hear that day. I don't want to talk about that today. Race coming on, football game coming on, just like today. We got a lot of food over there to eat. It's going to wait. Some of you may be thinking, maybe I need to think something about this today. I need to do something about this today. You still got a chance. On the other part, there's another homecoming. It's going to be those who know Jesus Christ, and they're going to enter into heaven. All I know is what's been told to me about the Bible in heaven, and I know it's going to be wonderful. It says it's, what, like 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles? John tries to describe it like it was gold and silver and diamonds and emeralds and rubies, and he used words that only he had seen things before that he could try to explain what he was seeing. He tried to explain to us the best that he could. I'm talking about God, the light from his glory shining out and filling up heaven, and heaven is going to be so bright. So you imagine going into a room not having to turn on a light. Those of you with glasses, can you imagine looking down and seeing something, trying to not have to look through your bifocals and don't have to turn on the light to see it, and the light don't have to be just right to get in there and see it? Can you imagine there not being any darkness in heaven, and because of the light coming from God in his glory? We've talked about before, some people talk about what we're going to do in heaven. Some people that like to fish, some people like to hunt, some people like to shop. I don't know if it's going to be any of that in heaven. He doesn't say. I hope there are no malls in heaven. I hope we never have to go shopping and buy a dress. But I don't know what heaven's going to be like as far as that goes. But I know it's designed by God, made by God, it's made by God for those of us who know him. Jesus told his disciples when he left, what did he say? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, what am I going to do? I'm coming back and getting you. And I'm taking you to that place. Now, there's a place that Jesus has gone to prepare for those who believeth in him. Where is he gone to prepare for those that don't believe in him? Is he preparing a place for them? He's gone to prepare a place for those who believe in him. The next part, Stephen. He says, should not perish, which I'm going to say is those that don't believe in him are going to hell. Have everlasting life. You're going to go, you believe in him, you believe he died for you, you believe he died for your sins, you accept that. He says that you're going to heaven. You're going to live where he has gone to prepare a place for you. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no feeling of, I'm not sure about that. I believe that, and I believe these verses, these words, with everything that I have. I've staked my eternity on that promise. Some of you have heard it before. Some of you have known what you need to do. Some of you have felt the Spirit talk to you and tell you that the life that you're living is sin. It says that we were born in sin. We can't get away from it. There's nothing we can do about it. And the only way that we can get in heaven is have that sin removed from our lives and forgiven. What Jesus did on that cross, the reason he died on that cross, he was the perfect sacrifice given by God to die for my sins. I'm going to walk into heaven one day and I'm going to see Jesus standing at the right side of God, and I don't know what else heaven is going to be. And I don't know what I'm going to do when I see God there, and I'm going to look and I'm going to see Jesus standing there beside him. And I'm going to see the marks on him. I'm going to see the scars on him. And I'm going to realize at that moment that they're there because of the things I've done. Some of y'all in this room, you know some of the things I've done. Some of the things I've done, you don't have a clue. Some of the things I've done, my wife knows. Some things I've done, she has no idea. God knows every one of them. Every single one of them, for me and for you. And this is an amazing thing. When I say that I believe in you, Jesus, I believe that you died for me to take those sins that I'm talking about, that I know about, every one of them, each and every one of you know yours. And I'm going to see him and he's going to say, you are forgiven for all of them. Every one of them. By doing what? Working in the kitchen? No. Working in carrying hands? No. How many of y'all have ever seen the commercials on TV with the starving children? They need to be fed. I'm not making light of that. But that's not going to get you to heaven. You can take the commercials that they have on TV. How many of y'all see the ones with the little dogs that are abused? You can feed all the dogs in the world that you want to. Is that going to get you to heaven? No. Is it good? Yeah. Teaching Sunday school, is that going to get you to heaven? No. What is going to get you to heaven? Belief that Jesus Christ died for you, for your sins, on that cross, that he was buried, he arose 3 days, he ascended, and he's gone to the Father, and he's gone to prepare a place for me and you. There'll be two homecomings one day. One of them is not going to be good. One of them is going to be pretty nice. Think about it. Which one are you going to attend? Greg?
Amen. Thank you, Ralph. You know, the message this morning is that eternal message that God has given us from eternity past to eternity future, and that is the message that God loves us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but they will have everlasting life. Ralph has illustrated for us the homecomings, the kind of homecomings that we'll participate in at that time. For some, it will be, welcome, my good and faithful servant. Enjoy the pleasure of your master. For others, it will be, depart from me. I never knew you. And, you know, the scripture is so clear, crystal clear to us, that God loves us with a crazy kind of love. He loves you no matter what. In spite of what, he loves you. God loves you and cares for you. And I know that some of us have been studying about that this week in our Sunday school material about how God loves us so much, and we need to camp out on that, and we need to stay right there with that, and we need to rejoice in God's love. But knowing that God loves you won't change a thing about your eternity unless you receive Christ. And so this morning, maybe the call for you is to receive Christ as your Savior, to say you do believe in Him, you're trusting in Him, what He did on Calvary, that He rose again, and that He's promised to forgive you and to come into your life, to be your Savior and your Lord. As you believe in Him, the Scripture says you have everlasting life, and you'll never be condemned. But then, if you refuse to exercise the faith that you have in Christ, the Bible says you will perish and you will be condemned. And the sad truth is that some people go through life thinking, oh, God will let me off at the last minute. God will surely be appreciative of my good behavior and the good things I've done. But the reality is He's made the provision for you. He sent His one and only Son, and whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Maybe this morning your homecoming needs to be coming home to the Lord to receive Him. Maybe this morning, as Ralph has shared, maybe God's called us to a closer walk with Him. Maybe a rededication of our lives to Him, for those of us who know Him. Maybe this morning God is just calling you to make a decision, a right decision right now. No matter what it might be, it may be something that you know that you need to do. Maybe God is saying, I love you. I can't love you anymore. I love you so much I sent my Son. But I want you to make the right decision today. A decision that honors me and brings good into your life. Maybe God's called you to that. So we're going to have a word of prayer, and then Brother Marcus is going to come and lead us in this time of decision. And if God's called you to make some sort of decision for Him public this morning, I'm going to be here to receive you this morning. And I hope you'll let God have His way in your life. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for, Lord, just reminding us of the simplicity of the gospel message. Lord, we make so much of so many things in the church, and we get involved in so many different activities, and we thank You for all the good works You've called us to. But Lord, right now we pray that our hearts would never move far from the wondrous truth of Your love and the gospel message. Lord, help us to be refocused on that and committed to that, that we might know Your love, and Lord, that we might share Your love with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.